Welcome to the Concordia Publishing House podcast, where we consider everything in the light of Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm your host, Elizabeth Pittman. Our friends at the Office of Youth Ministry at the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod have spent a great deal of time listening, conducting research, evaluating data, and digging into scripture to identify the practices that make up a healthy youth ministry. The result of that is they have come up with 7 practices of healthy youth ministry. On today's episode, Reverend Mark Kiesling and Juliana Schultz from the LCMS Office of Youth Ministry will join us to walk through these 7 healthy practices and explain what makes them so helpful for youth ministry in our congregations today. But before we start our conversation with Mark and Juliana, I'd like to thank our friends at the LCMS Foundation for their support of the CPH podcast. Imagine a future where your God-given gifts will continue to benefit your family and faith after you've been called home to heaven. The LCMS Foundation can help you create your gift plan so that your assets, things like retirement accounts, home, or land, will leave a lasting impact on the people you love and the ministries you care about most. Learn more about creating your gift plan at lcmsfoundation.org. Now on to our conversation with Mark and Juliana. Mark and Juliana, welcome to the CPH podcast.
It's great to be here.
Thanks for having us.
I should say welcome back. You've both been on before. Mark, you've been on a couple of times. Juliana, you've been on at least once, maybe twice. I've lost track because we like having our friends come join us on the show. So, you know, this summer was a big summer for your team.
It was?
And I mean, was it just a run-of-the-mill? Nothing major happened for you this summer, right?
No. We had the LCMS gathering, which is a big we only do it every 3 years.
Yes.
And even then, just barely.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, yeah,
It was great. It was, we're still kind of in that recovery.
I give you all so much credit because not only is it a big event in a normal cycle, but having the effects of COVID leading up to it. And I know that as your planning team worked on it, it threw you a lot of curveballs, but your team handled it beautifully.
Well, thanks. We were very happy. Gave thanks to God so many times for the way he worked through our planning teams and volunteers, the city of Houston, just to get and take care of our youth and our congregations to be able to come and celebrate who we are in Jesus and have that Christian community. It was a beautiful thing to surely have that. And thanks to CPH for all the support on so many ways that you brought together Bibles and just so many aspects, as well as the store too. We heard great things about just, again, gospel-centered resources able to get out to the hands of young people in our congregations. And so, and Brian, already hearing too, I know you've collected some of the stories from the servant event you guys hosted, which is just great. Awesome to see.
It's always cool to see everything that happens at the gathering and to see the stories. And this year, for the first time, I was able to watch the gathering through the eyes of my oldest two sons, which was fantastic, and through their friends in the church group. But then, as you said, to come back and see the stories that we're hearing coming back of people that had been involved in some way, shape, or form, either with the servant event or with other things, it's been really cool. So well done. You've earned a little bit of a break.
We've taken it for sure.
Oh, well, I'm glad that you're here today. We're going to talk about the 7 practices of healthy youth ministry. And your team has done such great research and spent a lot of time looking at these. And I think it's important for our congregations and our lay people who are active in their congregations and who care about kids and youth ministry and their faith formation to really think about these things. So I appreciate you coming on today to chat about those. Why don't you give us a quick rundown of the 7 practices of what compromises a healthy youth ministry, and then we'll take them one by one.
Great.
Yeah. So one of the things that we did is like we looked, like you said, at research. We looked at our theology, we looked at scripture. We looked at historically how we've defined healthy youth ministry in the LCMS. So many different pieces, and really wanted to answer the question, you know, how would we define healthy youth ministry? So you have lots of lay people who get kind of thrust into youth ministry. They're going, okay, well, what is this supposed to look like? And so we defined it in kind of 2 different sections. And the first section is things that congregations should have, right? So healthy youth ministry, congregations should have warmth, challenge, and grace, should have supportive adults, engaged parents, and then opportunities to serve and lead. And so we said those are kind of the four things that congregations should have when they have healthy youth ministry. And then maybe throw over to Mark to talk about the other part of that.
Yeah, and on the other side, we kind of maybe talked about maybe key outcomes that you're looking at for youth ministry. Really, we'd probably say this is ministry to young people. It's not just high school age or junior high age, but really as you're looking at from baptism through, you know, high school graduation through that time, about what are some key areas in which your Christian education can be looking at, relationships can be looking at. And again, based on the research we did, as well as things that we see in scripture, as well as just getting great information from LCMS congregations and talk to young people who remained in the church and say, like, tell us about your church life and what happened. And we boiled it down to these three things. One's a pretty large category, which is deeply understand their baptismal faith. So again, to key on that importance of God's gift to us in baptism. But then what does Christian education look like, whether it's through Lutheran schools, whether it's through the congregation at home with mom and dad, on their own study as well. And so that, again, that there's that hunger to be in God's word and to grow as a disciple of Jesus through that. The second piece was to develop a resilient identity in Christ. You know, we've gotten some feedback about, you know, where we see in scripture too, talks about endurance, that enduring faith. And so again, how do we look at the world and see that there's going to be challenges through life circumstances or even people who may not agree the same way we do? And how do we in love respond to that? And then also hold Christ's words into us and be faithful to his words too. And the third one plays off of, again, what Juliana talked about in the first part, which is then also help young people live out their unique vocation. So they get opportunities to serve and lead, understand who they are in those groups, but then help them understand how has God made you? What are ways in which you can serve him and other people and to bring them joy into that too? So again, gives them that connection in the church body itself, but then also out into their daily lives too, and how they are able to fulfill Christ's mission through all of that.
So let's start with warmth, challenge, and grace. I mean, this alone, each one of these is big.
and really, we went back and forth because Warm Challenge and Grace wasn't originally the first one, but we really felt like it really impacts every other aspect of what's happening. And we use those words to define the environment that those young people are around within their congregation. And there are lots of words we see in research that young people might use to describe what we would call warmth, challenge, and grace, which are really just words to define how they feel in terms of their welcome, that they're wanted, that they are a part and they belong to the church and to the body of Christ, that there is a kind of challenge that includes both a willingness to approach sin and deal with its impact and deal with its effects and dealing with how young people might struggle in lots of different ways as they grow. And then grace and bringing in God's love and the promise of salvation and how we love each other and offer forgiveness to one another and receive forgiveness from Christ. And so warm, challenge, and grace really become things that include sharing personal stories of grace, of failure, of challenge, of joy, and getting into some of those tough spiritual conversations and being willing to step into that. You know, we certainly saw that at the gathering. We see that from a lot of the young people. They want to ask really hard questions and they want their church to be able to respond to that, not with like, oh, not, we're not going to talk about that. That's too, but they want to be able to respond to that and hear that with welcome, right? With grace, with an opportunity for them to be called to something beyond themselves through the power of the Holy Spirit. So lots of different ways that we might think about that. And that's also where we talk a little bit about needing to have sort of a space for young people that is unique for them. And that space can look like a lot of different things. It doesn't necessarily have to be your stereotypical youth room or whatever, but space where they can really deal with things at a developmentally appropriate level, right? Which is important for them as well.
Well, I think having congregations that prioritize an environment that is filled with warmth, challenge, and grace, it will be beneficial, not just for the youth, but for every member of the congregation to know that they have this space and it's okay to ask the hard questions and that they'll be welcomed and engaged with.
And one of the reasons too, why we end up putting kind of that practice first, and certainly we think it's important, but it also played out in a lot of different areas of life too. So warm, challenge, and grace became words that we saw connected to specific adults, but then also maybe it was in a home too. So it was the parents that also were showing that, which also always tied back to Jesus and God's grace for us. But yet it was through these relationships. And that's the one thing. So it wasn't just something that came out of thin air, but it was people that they could make that connection to. Like, it was this person who showed me grace. It was this person who stepped into a difficult time in my life and showed love. And so again, that other, one of those other practices were supportive adults. And so that really looked at these people who are intentionally were investing in young people. You know, we say sometimes it's as simple as the person who on Sunday morning notices a young person's missing for whatever reason and says, "I miss seeing you at church," or is connecting with them and say, "How was the football game? How was studies? How was the first day of school?" Knows enough about going on in their life to be able to connect with them and be able to show God's love through that. As well as too, those people who are champions of youth ministry. So are maybe the Sunday school teacher that's walked with them in the faith, teaching the faith for over years, confirmation assistant or teacher, maybe again, that person in high school who is running youth nights or going to national youth gatherings or other events. I'm investing that time so that they, again, see young people as valued by God, valued by the church, valued by individuals, and know that they are loved. And again, to see how that beautiful those relationships are, and keeping young people connected to the church for a lifetime. And then too, what I mean, one thing that we just use is kind of like a connection phrase there. So it was some research from Fuller Youth Institute and some research they did with Sticky Faith and connecting young people. Is often we'll talk about supervisory responsibility as one adult for five youth. And we talk relationally, Fuller talks about this in terms of it being five adults for every youth. So are there five people in their life, whether it's five people at church who know them by name and can greet them? Is it five people who are praying for them, whether it's members of your church or other family members maybe that are praying for them and keeping them connected to Jesus, giving them resources at specific times of their life, whatever it might be, and just being those safe people that they can talk to and ask those questions and have receive that warmth and invitation to do that. So that's just one way that's kind of a way to catch on to that idea of supportive adults in the lives of young people.
Well, and I like how that's set up. So if it's the number five and five adults, that should be fairly easy for a parent. I'm thinking through it to think through who are five adults in the congregation or in the faith life of my child who I know is involved in their life, who knows them, who would miss them. And I think it would be the same for youth leaders too, to be able to kind of quickly look around. And if you come up short, that's low hanging fruit for an action item to help get your young people connected.
Yep. And we saw it too, like in the research, that it was in times of maybe transition or crisis that those five were the ones that would be able to be called upon to be able to say like, "Hey, something just happened in this young person's life. Can you make that extra call? Can you make sure you check in with them?" Whatever it might be. And just, man, in those times when it's really spiritually, emotionally difficult for a loving adult to step into those areas of life and show them Christ's love was really meaningful to them and something that, again, the Holy Spirit used to really show them God's love through all of those trials in life.
And you can do that in your congregation in really programmatic ways, yep. Right? So there's some congregations. So for example, when I was in the parish, we would do a confirmation of mentors, right? And so it was a young person who had an older adult, most of them were retired, who spent time with them deliberately every month. It was part of a checklist of things that we did in preparation for their confirmation. And that had a very programmatic feel to it. But at the end of that time, we would have our confirmation service. And then when we would normally do the announcement, we would have that mentor come up and introduce that young person to the congregation. And even though that young person had been in the congregation, many of them since their baptism, right? But it was so amazing to see these adults with such great pride share key pieces of what they loved about this young person and what they had learned and valued about their experience in being in relationship with that young person. And so sometimes it's really programmatic and sometimes it's really organic, right? We've all had that experience where, you know, you have a family that sits near you in church and because you always sit in the same pew and you get to know those kids. And then over time, like you get to be like, "Oh, well, you're starting school next week. Well, how is that going? And hey, how is soccer practice?" And then over time, there just sort of becomes this natural relationship that begins to bond you together. Then you kind of can identify that person as being a person who is going to bring in that warmth, that challenge, that grace is going to call you out when you're not paying attention in the sermon. Right. who's gonna really be there and want to make sure that you're there and have, hey, we haven't seen you in a while. What's going on? So I, you know, sometimes, yeah, you want to be really deliberate. Let's sit down, let's count, let's ask some hard questions so we know how many supportive adult teen person has, but then also trusting that God brings us together in kind of weird ways sometimes. And you don't always know how you became really good friends with that, that person, but you're really grateful that you did.
You just described our Sunday mornings before church when we get to where we sit, and it's the same. We might move a row or two depending on things, but it's the same people in the same section, and the conversations are exactly what you described. And the kids are always a focus of the other adults, which is great.
Right.
So they tend to appreciate our circus at times. So at least in my row. Well, and that's, you know, so they're supportive adults, but then the third practice is engaged parents. And, you know, it starts at home. So what do engaged parents look like, and how does that contribute?
Yeah, engaged parents really, if you're looking at any research, we're really looking at parents as being the primary faith leader in for their young people. There's really no one way about that. And while we recognize that not everybody had an engaged parent who was faithful in the Christian faith as they were growing up, certainly that does have a huge impact, both from the way that they model the faith, right? So when we talk about engaged parents, we talk about their own personal faith practices, making sure that they're in worship, that they're in Bible study, that oftentimes we saw in our research, you know, the value of that parent being in some kind of leadership role, and as a model for their young people, that they also are able to have those healthy conversations around life and faith in the home, right? So an engaged parent's open and listening to those conversations. They're asking what you learned in confirmation class and in youth group. They're wanting to know about all the Bible studies you listen to at the gathering. They're watching mass events, right? They're engaged in and finding ways to open up those conversations, because they're not just one-time conversations. They're ones that you have over and over again. And then particularly prioritizing faith practices, reading scripture, praying together, spending time in worship and in those kinds of things, and especially encouraging those in times of transition, mm-hmm. right? So we're modeling that not as they grow up, but also going like, okay, you're going away to college. We have lots of young people who are in those first few weeks of college. Have you found a church home? Have you found a campus ministry? How are you doing those things as you leave maybe our house for the first time to be able to think about that? And then thinking about how parents can support other parents mm-hmm. as they are faithfully trying to raise up young people, but also how can we get empty nesters, retirees in that conversation too, to say like parenting can be really hard. And parents have so much pressure right now mm-hmm. to have their kid in everything. They have so much pressure to make sure that they're doing the right things as a parent. And I think for us to be able to kind of say like, yeah, there is, but also the most important thing you can do is raise your young person to know who Jesus is and to live in their baptismal faith.
And we saw too, I mean, that's so much of that. I mean, you hear something's caught, not taught, and that sometimes it was the easy things, making sure Sunday morning's a priority or whenever your worship time might be, that made a huge impression, obviously. And obviously God works through time in worship, through his word and sacrament. Just that part of being in Christian community, showing up was just a huge part in the life of a young person. And so those relationships that get built around that, it was just a great thing to see just come out in data, even that just that practice of regular worship, making the importance of putting God in our life first, wrestling with our sin and know that we're forgiven, which is a huge impression piece for young people. And to watch their family, you know, obviously a very intimate relationship with a family member, with a parent, and to be able to see them walk through that together was great. And so that's what really we say that to not make it as though you got to be super mom and dad all the time by any means, but yet right. sometimes just being that circus, getting there, like you said, in a church on Sunday is huge.
Sometimes just getting there and being present yes. is all you can do, and that's okay. And there have been times where, you know, my kids have, you know, from time to time they've been known to throw a fit, and like, fine, you don't want to get, you'll go in your pajamas. I don't care. You're going.
Right.
I mean, your hair's not combed. Fine. I don't care. You're going.
That's right.
So it's You know, and that's good. That's the same for us too. There are days that, you know, you wake up and may not feel like getting up and going, but we get up and we go.
That's right.
So, yeah. So yay for parents. We don't have to be super parents, yes, but just show up and your kids are, because your kids are watching. They really mm-hmm, do.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right.
And lots of times when we talk about youth ministry, we sort of treat it like it's something separate than what the parents are doing. And really mm-hmm. we want to say like healthy youth ministry really has to involve parents yeah. at a critical level, right? Like we have to be communicating well with them and partnering with them. They should be a part of what's happening there because we have, you know, maybe an hour, 2 hours a week with a young person when we're doing youth ministry with them, where the parents have so much more time, and what they do has such a huge impact on the lives of their young people.
Absolutely. So take us into the fourth category, opportunities to serve and lead. And again, this is another thing where, you know, parents can set an example and show this, and other adults in the congregation, in the congregation's environment can set an example for this. But tell us what this entails.
So we think about it as sort of like a progression, right? So the first part of that all the rest of them don't really have a progression. This one does, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And the first part is you got to get to know your young person, right? We don't just throw young people into any responsibility or service or leadership role just because they're young people, or make assumptions about them. But we really want to get to know them. What are their passions? What are their gifts? Who are they, and what do they want to be doing? How can they be serving best in the church? And that's a combination of hearing it from their congregation, looking and talking to their parents about what the parents observe and those things. And then the next step would be asking them for meaningful contribution. So that's asking their opinion. Young people like to give their opinion, and sometimes they have a different perspective than other adults in the congregation. They have a lot to say. And so making sure that the youth ministry in particular, but then also the greater congregations, asking for their input on things like, hey, you know, what kind of Bible studies do you guys want to be doing? Or, hey, do you want to have input on some of the big things our congregation's doing, and what we might be, how we might be connecting to the community, or places that we're doing service work and those kinds of things? Then we would talk about service, which is, you know, anytime you're using your gifts and skills to care for in the congregation or in your community. Tons and tons and tons of ways to do that. And there's so many great ways that you can do that, that connects them to other supportive adults, that gives them opportunities to experience more challenge and grace. So there's some overlap there. And then finally, for those young people who are ready to think about how they might go into load-bearing leadership roles, roles that have responsibilities that can help create direction and impact for the congregation, and finding ways to be able to do that. I mean, one of the great things that we saw in our research was that when congregations had a leader that was under 30, they had much greater rates of retention in their home congregation, retention in the LCMS overall, retention through high school. So it doesn't take a lot of young leaders. We're not saying replace all your leaders with young leaders, right? But find one, find two, find the ones that are, that have those capabilities and those desires, and how are you utilizing them to help give a multi-generational aspect to your leadership that's really going to be beneficial. I could go on about that forever, pretty much, about the value of young leaders, but I think for us, like, this is one of those practical ones. You know, warm challenge and grace is probably the one where we're like, it's environmental and you know it when you feel it. Opportunities to serve and lead, there's a lot of very specific, tangible things you can do.
I think it's one of those things that you talked about. It's a key thing to really be listening to, because leadership might look different to Gen Z than it might have previous generations.
Yeah.
When we juggled the schedule piece and we realized just how the church is interacting with society and other things. So it's to be able to opportunity to listen to young people and say, what does Christian leadership, servant leadership look like in the church to you that's meaningful? And so it helps the church, I think, to have those new ideas be brought in about how, and helping young people too in their vocation as students and as athletes and musicians and other things, like, how can the church equip you and support you in that walk with Jesus as you, again, shine the light of the gospel into the lives of your friends? So it gives that great interaction too for the church to learn from young people, and then also to be able to support them in their life.
But it's definitely not a one-way street. It's not just,
right,
you know, the adults pouring into the young people, but through these opportunities for developing leaders and relationship and engaging them, we as the parents and the older generations are going to be absolutely blessed by the relationships, and it's only going to make the church environment stronger.
Well, one thing we loved, and we talked about this a lot during COVID, was, boy, you know, I think a lot of churches were like, how do we get into the digital age? And young people were like, it's put me in charge.
It's
like,
here.
I'm ready to go. I'll have it figured out by tomorrow, Pastor. It's not a problem. It's all of a sudden, hey, we're online thanks to our young people who had set that up. So we'd love to hear the stories of how many young people jumped into leadership because, like, oh, that's what I do every day. It's my life.
Well, sometime in the last year, year and a half, our church, my home church, it's the high school kids who are running the technology on Sunday mornings. So they're managing all of that, and they take turns and they volunteer to do it, and they're using their skills, and they're involved. And it's a great blessing for the church.
Absolutely.
Well, it's so amazing to us. Like, I'm going to put in a little plug. We have a podcast called End Goals. And one of the questions that we ask often is like, was there a meaningful moment for you in your relationship with God and the church when you were in high school? And so many of these key, incredible leaders who do youth ministry now say, well, it's because somebody came alongside and trusted me to be a young leader, even when I hadn't earned it, even when it was a little scary.
I didn't know what I was doing.
Right. They came in and they said, they gave me the keys and they said, hey, let's go. You're going to help us figure this out. And you're going to step into that. And that ability, I mean, I could certainly say that's what was true in my life, right? Having adults in my church who said, yeah, we're going to let you do that, really played a powerful role. God acted very powerfully in that situation to be able to lift up new generations of leaders. So we want to be able to do that for our young people now and say, like, yeah, it's nervous wracking. On the other end, I understand now how scary that is for adult leaders to do, but how much of an impact it can make on the life of a young person.
So before we go on to the next three, I'm going to ask you to give another little plug for your youth lead program, because we've been talking about leadership and developing leaders. And in addition to your podcast and your youth e-source resources, you've got this great program that can help congregations develop young leaders. Give us a quick commercial about that.
Yeah. So Youth Lead used to be called Lutheran Youth Fellowship, has been around for about 40 years. And one of the primary things that we do is a 4-day event here in St. Louis that typically happens in March. And that event helps young leaders from across the country to come in. We do a couple of different things. We teach them a curriculum that they can go back and teach to young people in their congregation, in their circuit, in their district. We also do a lot of Christian leadership development, helping them to understand how God has made them as leaders and ways that they can use that and use that to live out their vocations and live out the gospel. And so it's a great program. We love it. It's been amazing to see it develop over so many years and have adults now who are out in leadership who are part of this. So the registration for that's going to open in October for the March 16th through 19th of 2023. And so we're really excited about that. And we brought it to national last time. Yep. We're hoping to see some expansion on that and bringing in some regional events as well.
And Liz, you are one of those former adult or leader. Yeah.
I was, when you said it's been around for about 40 years, I was quickly doing the math. I'm like, I was not.
No, not you. No, of course not.
I was like, no, I went through it and it's really cool now. I'm still friends with people that I went through Lutheran Youth Fellowship with. There are seminary professors, Concordia University profs, pastors, all from Lutheran school teachers, all from my group. Cool. And it's really cool now because my son has been going through it and he has become a huge fan. And he will be watching for that registration link and will let me know as soon as he sees it from you. But I also give you credit because he's learned a lot and he's stepping up as a small group Kairos leader at his high school this year. Cool. So they have students who lead these small groups and work with kids for Bible study during the week. And he jumped into that. And I give you a lot of credit for his willingness to step up and feel comfortable doing that. So yay for Youth Lead. I recommend it for any of our listeners who know teenagers in their congregations who have these leadership skills. Go do it.
Yeah. It's a weekend highlight. That's for sure of the year. It's a great weekend.
I've got great memories from those long weekends. So,
and if anybody has a question on what the future of the church is going to look like, man, I challenge you to come to Youth Lead and not come away feeling like the future of the church is in excellent hands. God has really equipped a lot of those young leaders in powerful ways. So it's a blessing to get to see them and see how God is using them in all sorts of different ways. Yeah. It's amazing.
Well, it's so cool to see these relationships among our young leaders, and they're from all over the country, mm-hmm. and they come together and they form such a tight bond. I know you had the Youth Lead alumni get together at the gathering, mm-hmm. and I saw a few of the kids who had just left that event and that photo op. And, a couple of them were in tears because they knew that they were going to not be in person with these friends of theirs for some months. I mean, it really forms powerful, powerful relationships from youth all around the country, which is fantastic. All right, moving on.
Yeah.
So the next step, deeply understand their baptismal faith.
So these are some that we kind of looked at, maybe like what we might say some critical outcomes, perhaps for young people or maybe for a ministry to young people or youth ministry. And so one we really talked about is one we really kind of wrestled with for a long time, even before we did the research was, how do we continue all that great investment we make maybe during a confirmation or catechesis process, maybe for younger students into the high school years and making that transition. And then also continue to engage them in the Word of God as they're becoming maybe more independent, preparing for maybe a major transition post high school. And so giving them some of those gifts and again, being able to lift up in relationship the importance of studying God's Word. So one thing we did key on, we kept baptism in the title. Just one thing, again, as always, a reminder for us as we prepare these things and for everyone that, again, it's God that brings the growth. It's God that provides the faith to trust his promises. It's God that sanctifies and that he's doing the action through, again, that gift of baptism that he gives us. But then also this encouragement for then how do we help young people when they have that hunger to be in God's word and have really important questions. They're coming to a place of warmth, challenge, and grace. And where do we point them in God's word? And where do we then point them to study and to be together in community along that way? So, again, it's basically that Christian education piece, whether it's, again, Lutheran schools or congregations themselves in homes where we maybe don't always necessarily know the answer ourselves, but we can point them to their pastor or other caring adults or just engage together in God's word to in those great resources that we have in our church body to answer those questions. The other thing too that we kind of already started before even come up with the practices is we came up with a list of what we kind of called end goals for youth ministry. And these were some statements that you might want to put before young people as they leave your high school ministry that would have on their hearts and their minds and their lips as they leave. And so these are taken statements from the catechism and from scripture that reminds them of their identity in Jesus, of the importance of Christian community, opportunities to serve and lead in vocation, and certainly to the larger church about how do we see ourselves placed and how do we support the mission of Jesus through missionaries and others. So it's just places where we can point them in scripture to be, whether those are memorized or just have a general idea, again, become these places where, again, they can grow in their understanding of God's word. In their place in the world and the opportunities that God gives us to share our faith with others. So those are just some kind of the key parts of that baptismal faith and the depths of God's word. And certainly the complexity of the world in which we're into, but yet we can point to God in all things and trust in him and rest in him.
But I think as they have that understanding of their faith and know where to look, that definitely impacts their identity. And your next point is that a healthy outcome will be that the youth have developed a resilient identity in Christ. Tell us about that.
Yeah. So we really thought about how we wanted to talk about this quality that we sort of saw in research, we keep seeing in research, that allows young people to face a lot of the things that they're going to face in the world, struggles that they might have, doubts they might have, situations where there's crisis, or situations where there's great joy, where they're achieving, all of these things, and how are they holding on to that identity that they have in their baptism and in Christ. And so we use the word resilient really as that idea of like that they're able to face all of those things holding fast. You use the image of like a plant, right? Deeply rooted that can weather a lot of different storms. And for us, we use terms like humbly confident, right? That they come to difficult situations with a level of humble confidence that says, you know, I'm certainly not perfect. I'm a sinner in need of saving, but also I can be confident in who God is, what God's done, what he tells me about himself in his word. And that they can come to difficult relationships, even relationships with people very different than they are, with a humble, loving, in a humble, loving way, knowing that they can have those hard conversations and that that's not going to just knock their faith completely over, right? They're not going to, okay, well, forget all of that, right? That they can hold on to who they are in Christ, even in those really difficult conversations, situations, relationships that they might face. That they're, again, like they're lifelong learners, right? And that they identify with the value of the Christian church and why they are a part of the Christian church. So that resiliency really does then help take the head knowledge into the rest of their lives, being able to hold on not just to knowing what God says, but knowing who they are because of what God says and because of their baptism.
Well, how critical is that today, given everything that our youth are facing on a daily basis and with culture around them saying, you can pick your identity. You can choose this. And for them to be so deeply rooted that they can withstand that, I think is so, so important.
Well, you know, anybody who's been a teenager knows the question's not, identity questions are not if, but when, right? You're going to have struggles around your identity. That's not a new thing for anybody. I mean, identity formation is one of those key things that every adolescent has to go through. Maybe you don't have any major crisis. Maybe you are in a situation, but at some point the question's going to come up. You're going to come across a situation when you are not sure anymore. And for us to be able to foster in that youth ministry and in your congregation, that idea of like, this is the one thing that doesn't change. Your grades can change. Your role on that team can change. Your friends might make choices that don't align with you know, who you want to be or what you want to be doing. All of those things can change, but who you are in Christ doesn't change. And that is the most important thing that you need to know as you walk through life. And everything else is going to be, maybe it'll be good, maybe it'll be bad. We'll see.
No, it's, I love the fact that my kids are in Lutheran schools and they receive this message every day. You know, we tell them this at home, it's echoed at school. I mean, they're hearing it day in and day out. And I think it's so critical for our kids. So, absolutely. And even for us as adults, like to be reminded that our identity in Christ is unshakable and the victory has been won. We know the end of the story. So it's a good place to be. So our last healthy practice is that our youth live out their unique vocation.
Yeah, so that was one of those. I mean, it goes really strongly connected to that resilient identity. Is vocation such a great teaching of the church? And it's one that has so many layers to it that it's just exciting. I mean, it's one of the things we often talk about it, like youth lead in other places, and it just allows young people to. I think vocation. One of the great things about vocation and teaching of it, it centers you in the here and now, and so it gives you ability to talk to young people at any phase of life to say God has placed you to be his people, to be Christ's hands and feet in a lot of different ways as students, as sons and daughters, brothers and sisters, whatever it might be. And it gives that teaching that you're able to connect with the different times of your life through different phases, again, how God is working through you. And so one of the things that we definitely see is as young people are starting to understand their gifts and abilities and get excited about things, and maybe some of it is looking to future ways they're going to serve, whether it's career or family, whatever it might be, is that, and then in these older years, you get to engage with them more and get to help them understand that giftedness and get them excited about those types of things that are both happening now and to the future. And that also allows too for young people as they're maybe starting to understand independence and exert that a little bit. It also enables them to see like, hey, here's some freedoms that you have to go down and see how God has gifted to you and things that really give you excitement and that you're passionate about and to be able to get excited about those gifts that God's given to them. So we really saw that a lot where, again, young people said, you know, I had a parent or I had
a pastor. I had a church worker. I had a Christian teacher who maybe was just at my high school who saw something in me and took the time to say like, hey, you might want to think about this profession. And it just changed their life and to see how God was going to use them. And it was a person who stepped in and did that. It was really a great way to see the Holy Spirit work in the lives of a young person. And then two, we certainly throw this in as part of it. It always comes up some part, usually what we want to do. We encourage hopefully future church workers to be able to plant that seed maybe a little bit for those that have those gifts and desire to do that. And so as they see desire to be a future Lutheran school teacher, a DCE pastor, whatever it might be, that is a great time to talk to them as they start to get excited what they might want to do with a future career. And so we always are adding, certainly working with Sent to Serve as well and other resources to be able to engage in those conversations with our young people and the resources that our churches have to encourage them in that work.
And that's such a great thing for the support of adults in a young person's life to have in the back of their mind as they're engaging with these young people on a daily basis. And to if they recognize that potential, give them a nudge. They need to hear it from someone other than their parents. Yeah, right. Otherwise, they may not hear it at all. And it may not. So it's sometimes a youth just needs that one person to say, have you thought about so that would be a great thing for all of our supportive adults to think about as they're engaging with young people. So as go ahead.
And the thing that you can see as you look through the seven practices is there's lots of interactions, right? So supportive adults play key roles in helping young people be resilient and to discover their unique vocations, right? When we have young people living out their unique vocations, often it's because we're giving them opportunities to serve and lead, right? So there's all of these pieces that overlap with one another, right? So, one of the things that we find is often leaders will go like, okay, there are seven practices and there's so many concepts and like, I don't even know where to start. Right. And for us, it's really a matter of saying like, okay, pick one spot and take that one step and look at one piece of this and work towards that. And they all overlap in ways where as you take one step at a time, one piece at a time, you think about it, in one aspect at a time, you are going to find other pieces will come alongside that. That's one of the things we like to do is we think through seven practices and people are like, oh my gosh, that's so much. How are we supposed to even begin to that? Right. But just taking it one piece at a time and they'll all kind of blend together.
Well, I think it provides a nice framework for lack of a better phrase, giving your youth ministry a quick audit. Yeah. To just take a few minutes and glance through the seven practices and look at your own congregational setting and then pick the one, pick the one place and start from there. Like you said, they'll snowball.
Right. Yes.
And I think it'll snowball quickly.
We've been blessed to add some speakers or writers on the topics that are, we were able to see either through the research or people that come suggested to us. And I don't think we have a practitioner who's presenting on all seven. We've got one who's presenting on one that their church did really well. And then maybe they were able to see some other connections through that. But again, it was one that they really had a strength in their congregation. We're able to see how God used that and bring growth in the lives of their young people or in their families through that.
So if our listeners want to learn more about either the seven practices or tips and tools and ideas for a healthy youth ministry, where would you point them?
So the Youth eSource is our website. So Youth eSource. If you go to that front page, seven practices is one of the places you can go, and it will list out all seven practices. There's videos for each one. There's discussion guides. There's articles that supplement that. And so that's a great place to go. Also on that website, if you're thinking about, hey, we want to move towards these end goals, the 40 end goals that we talked about, not only is there a list of those, but there's a discussion guide that you can give to parents to talk about the 40 end goals. We're also going through this next year. There are going to be Bible studies and devotions released that cover the year that are all focused in on those end goals. So you can use them in your youth ministry to help work towards some of those end goals. So all of that resourcing is going to be on youthesource.com.
And thanks to our partners at CPH, available in ebook now. Is kind of a summary of the research that we did and saw coming out of that was the importance of relationships. And so Relationships Count is a book that's available, again, an ebook version from CPH.
And we will link to the Youth eSource, to Relationships Count, to Youth Lead. We'll link to all of that in the notes so that our listeners can go through and quickly click and learn more and get connected with your office. So, Mark and Juliana, as always, thank you for coming on the podcast and sharing your wisdom that you've gleaned from all of the fantastic research that you've done. We look forward to having you back for another conversation in the future.
Thanks so much for having us.
Thank you.
Listeners, we'll see you next time.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of the Concordia Publishing House podcast. I pray that this time was valuable to your walk with Christ. We'd love to connect with listeners on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Concordia Pub. Visit cph.org for more resources to grow deeper in the gospel.